Welcome, everybody. I'm Jared, he's DJ, and this is Number One Bullshit.
So we are going from, on paper and in reality, the greatest card of all time. We got our 1 week reprieve, you know, go see your family, yes. You know, that kind of stuff. And then we are kicking back off with a fight night. And on paper, not the most enticing card, but once again, a reason that we love MMA is you never know what it is you're going to get. So, for example, fight that we would not be highlighting, Ivana Petrovic, Na Leong. Not going to highlight it. Not top 15 fighters. There's not a ton of consequence there. However, when you look at Leong's record, she is 27 years old. She has fought 26 professional fights, and one has gone the distance. Yep. And at women's flyweight, that is not the norm. So, probably going to see something pretty cool there.
She's probably going to get all over the place. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, she did that or get Ken Flood.
Yeah, for sure.
Petrovic is an animal, and Leong, it's feast or famine for her. And then also we have in our feature prelim, we got old man Ronnie Yaya taking on Dick and Balls. Victor Henry.
He didn't hit you.
No, he did not hit you. They're all like, he hit him right in the testicles.
You know what?
Thank you, John Annick.
You know what sucks about Victor Henry's career is, like, as long as we do this podcast and he's fighting, it's going to be the thing that we reference him as.
Yeah, and he's supremely talented.
But even if he's a champion, we're going to be like, oh, taking balls, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And this guy has not fought since then. I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
You know, try wearing the tie cup, maybe. You know, steal to try to protect yourself. But good. Hey, Victor. Good to see you back in the cage, buddy.
Sure.
I'm glad he's back. And a fight that I was actually really looking forward to. James Yontop taking on Gabe Green. And actually, Gabe Green just had to French method pull out due to injury. Sucks for Yontop because he was initially supposed to be fighting Groovy Lando Venata. And then Venata pulled out. And then he was supposed to be fighting Gabe Green. And then Gabe Green pulled out. So pretty unfortunate there. Was really looking forward to seeing Yontop perform just because going back and rewatching his fights, I mean, he beats the shit out of people.
Yep.
Like when he hits people, it doesn't look like he's hitting them that hard. And then they stand up and their face is just like lumped up. So it was really excited to see, especially because like we saw against Brian Battle, like Gabe Green will set his feet and throw.
Yeah.
So I think that one was going to be a pretty fun fight. Unfortunately, we will have to wait yet again for Yontop's UFC debut. I think probably they were waiting for him to cover up the FFC neck tattoo that he has. Right? Yeah, he has FFC tattooed right on his throat. Dana White even made a comment when he gave him a contract on Contender Series of like, yeah, we might need to cover that up, you know, now that you're in the UFC.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But he was a champ, you know.
Like, he just changed the F to a U, FFC, UFC.
I mean, I'm not too familiar with letters, but I'm trying to visualize how you would change the F.
People are talented, man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair.
I mean, like, yeah, I've seen people change tattoos. Like, you kind of get caught in that, like, social media thing. You're like, how the fuck did they get from A to B? And yeah. I'm not artistically talented like that at all, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Now we will have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a huge like blackout tattoo on his throat. Yeah,
fuck it.
Oh, that'd be so painful. That would be so painful.
On the throat, dude.
Mm. But we were talking about talented. A fight that would have been even higher on our radar had Jonathan Pierce not got caught slipping for a second there against Joe Anderson Brito. But Pierce versus David Onama, that's going to be a fun one. I am very high on Pierce, and especially like he was doing very well against Brito, and Brito is a talented fighter. Unfortunately, got careless for a second and got that ninja choke slapped on.
And honestly, like one of those things where like you're dominating this guy and you got cocky and submitted. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you want to talk about instant karma in a fight. it's like, you know, like, didn't he even say, like, get up, boy, or something like that? I believe.
Yeah, he said stand up and do something. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, ugh. But, you know, the fun thing about Pierce is, like, when he gets you on the ground, he's looking to do damage. It's always fun. Right? Instead of just looking to do positioning. So you have
smothering.
Yeah.
Smothering on top.
And that's fun because if you're going to be on top, it is nice to see people not just, I mean, there's that control factor where you're like, God, this person can't do anything. But it's also fun to see someone like try to damage you on the ground. And like Pierce is going to do that. And hopefully you learn from those mental lapses, right? We'll call it a mental lapse. Maybe his ego got in the way. I don't really know what made him make that decision. But you know, like Onama, solid kickboxer. But you know one thing that I noticed? He doesn't throw a lot of combos. It's like a one punch at a time type. It's very weird. Yeah. Like he's very effective, but it's not this like 4, 5, 6 combos landing. It's like a 1-2.
And I think part of it has to do with the, like, he's got to get loose. Like, I feel like he's such a rangy guy that it takes a while for him to be able to get the distance. And him fighting, he's basically always fighting in the apex. Yeah. Could be doing it again. It's that smaller cage. And that is something I've noticed with some of those rangier guys. Like, unless you are elite in your movement, it seems like it's pretty difficult for those longer guys to really be able to dictate range in the smaller cage. And this is like your classic striker grappler, you know, as much as you can have in modern MMA. I mean, Onama got out grappled by Landwehr, you know, he got taken down repeatedly by Gabriel Santos. Like, he's, the takedown defense needs work, but tough as shit. I mean, what Landwehr did to him, I mean, just beat him up, was in mountain, just stood up and walked away from him, was like, get up.
Yeah.
First of all, you're wild, man. What are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? Rossville's finest, baby.
It's Landwehr, man.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Clark's Vegas. Yeah. But he does get hit. He got hurt quite a few times by Gabriel Santos on the feet, but also recovered, right? Like, the guy's two losses so far are decision.
Yeah.
And all 11 of his wins are finishes. So, like, people are not putting him away. And if he's getting people out of there. So the one thing that really struck me about him, you know, you mentioned the 1 or 2, even though it's not like 4 or 5 punch combos, he is accurate.
Yeah.
He is very, very accurate. Like, when he spots a shot and he fires, I'm interested to see if he can catch Pierce coming in, because like that's where it's going to have to be, because Pierce is going to be all over him, right? And unless you are really able to circle out, which he has not necessarily shown that, like, he's going to have to catch that. The uppercut he put Santos out with was thing of beauty. So it's going to be fun. I think this is one of two ways we could be talking about this one next week is like, ooh, did you see that brutal knockout by Onama? Or did you see Pierce just fucking maul this dude?
And it almost feels like, from my opinion, like, we're going to hear the latter, Pierce mauling. But you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Typically, if it's grappler striker, you're siding with the grappler, unless that striker is an Izzy, you know, is one of these elite level kickboxer types, which we have an elite kickboxer on this card at heavyweight of all weight classes, with Jonata Janiz, and him taking on former Murray State racer, NFL player Austin Lane. Got to shout out the OVC. I know Murray State, for all you, you know, FCS football fans out there, I get they're not in the OVC anymore, but when I was coaching in the OVC, they were. So as far as I'm concerned, they always will be. But Janiz is an interesting one. Older, getting in, like a lot of these kickboxers, like what we saw with Cesar Almeida, with Poetan, these guys that have had world championship level success in kickboxing, and then in their 30s are transitioning into MMA. And he is about what you would expect from a heavyweight kickboxing world champ. I mean, just 6-0. Also, guess what? 6 subs. Oh, no, wait. Yeah. All 6 knockouts. You know, fights are not going the distance, and Lane gets put out.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see in a heavyweight fight. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum at this point, but like, I definitely don't want to see, like, especially these, you know, people coming into the UFC. You know, this is first quote UFC fight. Austin Lane is super athletic. We know everything about him. But sometimes I do want to see like the quick finishes for heavyweight. It's interesting because a little tangent here, but sometimes it's fun to have the excitement of like, oh, this person's coming in and they stop everybody. But you also want to know, now that you're in the quote big leagues, do you have that 3 rounds in you? Do you have the 5 rounds if necessary? I don't necessarily need to see this for this fight, for this heavyweight. Like, I'm okay with seeing the violence, but with the someone like him coming in, Denise coming in, or how do you say his last name?
Janice.
Coming into the UFC, you're like, okay, if you have to go 3 rounds, can you? If you have to go 5 rounds, can you? So there's always going to be that question. But for this fight specifically, I want to just see like that first round violence because it's exciting, especially on a card where, you know, we just kind of introduce the card. It's like, okay, you know, we don't know what this is going to look like. It's not as exciting about, you know, next week's card or, you know, the next pay-per-view or whatever, looking down the road. So if this fight's just like an all-out, like one-round heavyweight violent fight, sign me up. And this guy, like you just said, Janice has it. Lane has the chin to get put out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not a mathematician, so I don't know the exact percentage here, but they've fought 22 fights between the two of them, you know, professional MMA fights, and only 3 have been out of the first round. Yeah. And all of those are Austin Lane, and he's had one fight going to pass round 3. It was a 4-round fight, and even that one was finished. Like, neither guy has ever seen a judge's scorecard. Yeah. This is one that if you're a better, probably not going to start round 2. But we always say that, and then it's like 6 minutes into the fight, they're both tired and sloppy.
It's the heavyweight fight on the card that we don't talk about, you know, the following week. But I'm on board with you on this one. This one should be, especially in a smaller cage. Come on.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. And at heavyweight, it takes, like, if Janice comes in here and puts Austin Lane out, all it's going to take is one or two more fights, and he's in the top 15. Like, that's, you know, I mean, if you're coming in and you have that skill set to put people out, and you're more technical than just kind of the big brawler types, like, you're, you know, it could be pretty quick for you on the way up.
And we're looking for it. We have a little glimmer of hope in the women's bantamweight, you know, where we're like, okay, we got a new contender. Let's see, Kayla Harrison, anybody that's going to make the heavyweight division. No, don't get me wrong. At the top of the heavyweight, it's very exciting fights and matchups and fighters. But if you bring someone in here new, that's like you're saying, I think, what is he, 32? And it's like, hey, man, if you're going to come in here and put people's lights out, we'll definitely get you fights. So hopefully one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in that division where, like, they're looking for that next thing, right? Like, it was Jailton Almeida. We saw what happened with Curtis Blaydes. Like, they want that next thing. They were trying to see with Martin Budai, right? They're trying to see it with Shamil Gaziev, like Mick Parkin. Like, there's all these guys, and they're like, come on, like, somebody please separate themselves, because heavyweight's that division. We talk about it all the time. Another fight that I think is not going to last very long. Old Ryan Spann, Anthony Smithoff, Bogdan Gushkov. I mean, whew, it was fun doing the research for this one, especially from Gushkov's side.
Like, really?
He's an absolute wild man.
Yes. So I don't mind Ryan Spann. Like, I understand that, like, he's probably never going to be, I don't know. I off the top of my head, I can't even tell you if he's ever cracked the top 10, but he might not be that guy.
But he was top 10. He's 11 right now, and he just lost.
But he's fun. Like, I understand against Anthony, but when you rewatch, so it's one of those things, man. Sometimes my recall is when I rewatch a fight, I'm like, God, I had to, like, in the Spann fight. Yeah, he lost. I mean, the Smith fight, he lost to Smith. He didn't land as much as Smith, but his shots were more damaging than Smith. I don't remember it that way, right? I remember, like, him landing some clean shots, but you're like, you think about it now, it seems like they're really talking about damage being high. Like, that fight could be scored differently today, as opposed to when they fought. But I mean, Ryan Spann's exciting. You know, he's a good test. I mean, this is a huge test for what do you call him, Smith-off?
Yeah, old Gushkov. Yeah. And that's the thing. The thing about about Ryan Spann is there's some. It's almost like what Joaquin Buckley kind of used to be, or even like Terrence McKinney is now, where it's like you see these skills and you're like, yo, this dude is good. Like, people think of Ryan Spann and they think of like one punch knockout power, but of his 21 wins, 12 are submissions.
Yeah.
Right. He has a very complete game, but then he has those momentary lapses where he dives into a triangle from Nikita Krylov.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, you are smothering this guy. You're doing very well. And then that, like, what is happening? You know, you see him completely shut down the left eye of Anthony Smith, real Anthony Smith, yeah. Not Anthony Smith off. Or Anthony Smith-Agamadoff. I don't know. But I mean, just busted him up bad. And then you could tell it's 1-1 going in the third round. And then he just didn't really do anything third round. It was almost like a coasting kind of, seemed like he thought he was up on the scorecards or doing enough, or he was just tired. You know, I don't know. He's one of those where it's almost frustrating because he does something like, oh yes. Like when he put out Reyes, you know, yeah. The back-to-back Young Kutalaba and then Reyes, and it's like, oh, this guy's in the top 10 now. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see that Krylov fight. And then just kind of back to back where it's like, you were right there, man. He's a bit of a frustrating guy to watch if you're, I mean, not even a fan of his, but just a fan of like watching talent where it's like, God, the tools are there, you know, the skills are there. And then there's just those momentary, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Especially because, you know, Johnny Walker lost and then Serkinov, he won, and then Smith lost, and then two wins, two losses. Yeah, I mean, he's mm-hmm. he has that in him. But then you're going against Guskov, and Guskov throws huge. And what I couldn't recall before doing a little research is he's really fast, but he keeps his hands so low. I didn't realize. Like, I just, if you would have asked me, you know, like, does he keep his hands up or not? I'm like, I mean, probably. I didn't realize it. And I understand what you're saying. It's fun to watch because when you're keeping your hands low at that weight class, it's like the consequences is fucking huge, you know, and it makes it exciting. But his KO against, what is it, Paunga. I mean, God, yeah. It's just, and that's when he, is that the fight when he called out Anthony Smith? Because then he called out Anthony Smith after mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, super fun light heavyweight fight. And if he breaks in, he's got a good person. It seems like he has a fun personality. So yes. If he can break in with this win, get into, you know, let's say, quote, 11th spot, it's a fun light heavyweight to kind of have coming up.
It's, I mean, not stylistically, but kind of what you're getting. It's almost Johnny Walker-ish where it's like, hey, this guy's going to. Yeah, yes. Like he's fun and he's an absolute wild man. He does stuff you shouldn't do, and he's either going to make you look foolish or he is going to absolutely pay for it.
Yeah.
And like it's fun to watch. Yeah,
like, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And he will throw down.
Yeah.
Like he was standing, like you said, hands at his waist, just walking into range against no time.
Yeah.
Like that guy puts people out.
Yeah.
And he's just like, cool, I'm going to stand with my hands at my hips and just punch. And it's a lot of fun. And he's got the chin for it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I know Ozdemir finished him, but, you know, he got hurt and then got choked out. He ate big, clean shots from Ozdemir. And, like, let's not forget who that guy was on the come up. He was putting people out.
Yeah.
And Guskov ate very clean shots. Now, he doesn't check calf kicks ever.
Who wants to check calf kicks, man?
Yeah, he goes to the Max Holloway school of the Yuri Prohaska school of checking calf kicks.
Yeah.
But he's a ton of fun. It was one of those where I kind of misremembered the Ozdemir fight,
mm-hmm.
where in my mind it was like, oh yeah, he just got the shit beat out of him by Ozdemir. And like, really wasn't the case. You know, I mean, Ozdemir looked good, but like, he kind of, Guskov did some things too. And then what he did to Paunga was impressive.
Yeah.
For him having that like awkward movement, his hands low, he's accurate.
Oh, yes.
He is. The shots against Paunga were like, those are not, he's hitting the head every single time. Like, he's not missing.
Yeah.
And that's, I find that very interesting from an awkward, weird style like that, because you don't know how people are going to move, right? Because people haven't, you're not going to have tape of how this guy moves against your weird shit, you know? So like, it's very interesting. I am a fan. Like, he's one of those guys, and we'll see, could put on a boring performance, but like, he's one of those guys where it's like, oh, he's fighting. I have to see what happens there, because something cool is going to happen.
Well, yeah, I agree with that portion. It might not even be a boring fight. It might just be that he's not, like, he had the Ozdemir test and he couldn't pass it. He might not be able to pass the Ryan Spann. Who knows? Who knows if he's at that level yet? But to your point, this is going to be a fun fight. At least if it goes three rounds, at least the two rounds are going to be fun, because, you know, we saw Ryan Spann, whatever was the reason that he took off the gas on in the third round. Whatever his reason was, if he
against real Anthony Smith,
and maybe he'll just have flashbacks and just like beat his ass. He's like, I should have won that fight, but I mean, it's a nice, fun light heavyweight fight. It's exciting, because, you know, looking at this card, there wasn't too many things that I was just like excited off of. Mm-hmm. I did get more excited about this fight, and also just like, you know, you're gonna announce a fight that's coming up. Yeah. With my boy Roundtree, and I like that he's in the mix. If you get this guy in, here's a personality, you have these people potentially, you know, going to see each other in the future. It's like, we need that stuff in light heavyweight.
Yeah, and he's getting the chance. It's co-main. Like, I get it's a fight night, but it's co-main after a week off. You know, I feel like cards after a week off are going to get a little more traction than had it been, you know, the week before. Correct. 300 or the week right after. So he's going to get that opportunity. I'm very excited to see it. One thing I do want to bring up, and just rewatching the Paunga Guskov fight, Mike Beltran was the one reffing that fight, and Guskov got cup checked pretty good. You could hear it. And the difference in how he handled it versus how Herb Dean handled Jamahal Hill Poatan was like a very stark contrast. Like, Herb Dean just kind of started to step in, right? And Poatan was like, nah, son. Like, you know, I got this dude figured out. Whereas Beltran immediately stopped, like, very assertively stopped the fight. Guskov immediately was like, nope, I'm good. And Beltran asked again, you good? He goes, yep, all right, time in.
Yeah.
Took 2 seconds, right? But ultimately, there wasn't that, is it stopped? Is it not stopped? What's happening? You know, like, everyone knew. He was assertive. Stop. Okay, you're good? You sure? All right, let's go. And that was it. Didn't require anything more. And I appreciate that watching it.
Yeah, I mean, great call out. I think on the Herb Dean thing, too, is that I don't know if Herb Dean thought he actually got hit in the cup. I think that was where the confusion was. Because even we're rewatching it, like, it does kind of look like a hit. But I would go on the thing of cup. But yeah, I mean, great call out on that, because Beltran, actually, you don't hear, you know, you don't want to know the referees involved, and he's one of the few ones that you don't hear too often, like, that's involved in the fight, you know?
Because they made him tuck the stash.
Yeah, I know, but he
does. Yeah, they're like, you're too cool for the UFC.
Hey, man, like, people aren't watching the fighters when they're in there.
Yeah. You're out here on Mayans, you know, you're on shows. But it was good, too, because, like, Beltran had been out a while. I think he had diverticulitis, and it was cool to see him back. But, yeah, just have to call that out when you see it, of that assertive, like, hey, it might not have hit the cup, but we're making sure that everyone understands what's going on here. So absolutely love that. But I don't love it as much as I love the women's flyweight fight that we're about to talk about. Karini Silva, who y'all know how I feel about, killer Karini Silva and Ariane Lipsky. And this is probably the fight I am most excited about on this card.
This was, you know, like, you almost get sucked into the idea of, like, okay, the main event is the exciting fight of the night, right? It is. So looking at this card, it was like, okay, yeah, that flyweight, you know, like, this is going to be good. But then I started watching this again. I'm like, yo, this is the fight that has the most consequence. I mean, number 13 versus number 12. Karina Silva, yeah, you are very high on her skill set. on her as a fighter. And it's like, this is the thing that is exciting about watching sports in general, but MMA, and then breaking it even down further to UFC, is watch the people make their rise, right? Like, it's always good to see the Alex Pajedas and the Conor McGregors. I mean, like, there's nothing like seeing the Conor McGregor rise. But it's also fun to see someone just grind out and just be like a fucking killer. And then you're like, oh, this is her moment, right? And this isn't a co-main. This is in the main event. And it's kind of, I'm just going to speak for you, it's kind of our main event of this card, right?
Yes.
This is the fight that it's like, I almost wanted to talk about this last on the podcast because it's like, it's such a good matchup, man.
Ooh. And initially when I saw that it was announced, I was like, oh, Silva's going to fuck Lipsky up.
Yep.
Like, that was the first, my first thought, because it's kind of what Silva does to just about everybody. I know she has four losses. They were early in her career, but Shishovkats, she can flows.
Dude, she can 17 flow so wins, hard.
All finishes. Ugh. That is not normal for the weight class. 8 knockouts, 9 subs. So, hey, Lipsky, what should you be looking for? You know, just keep it even. Yeah. But she's so talented. And so I was thinking, like, oh, she's just going to walk through her. But then I started watching Lipsky's fights again. And what was really, really fun was to go back to when she lost to Montana De La Rosa, when she lost to Priscilla Cachoeira, and watching from that to her most recent win against King Casey. It is a totally different fighter.
Yep.
It, like, as much as Carini is the, even though she's a little older at 30, but, like, you know, 3 fights into her UFC career and is ranked and is, you know, the hot kind of prospect, it's almost as much fun to see the DuBronxes of the world, the Robbie Lawlers of the world, the people that come in, are talented, highly touted, and they go through adversity. And it's like, oh, this person's not ever going to be what we thought they were going to be. I mean, Lipsky is a, I think she was a KSW champ. She's a Muay Thai champ, like, very talented striker. But she had, I mean, she was getting taken down by everybody. Yep. And it was a problem. Like, Montana De La Rosa busted her up. It was a problem. And if you watch that, it was like, oh, she just doesn't have it. She's not going to be anybody that's going to take her down. She's not going to be able to get away from that. But then you watch her last 3 fights, 21 attempted takedowns between JJ Aldridge, Melissa Gatto, King Casey O'Neill, and not a single one was landed. And it wasn't the, like, Mackenzie Dern type, you know, not set up takedowns. It wasn't necessarily Aaron Blanchfield chain wrestling, so you're going to get 2 of 20. Like, it was people timing shots and her getting the hooks down, sprawling. Like, it was good technique in how she was defending it. She's training now with Amanda Nunes. She's training out of Nunes's gym. And hey, guess what? If you can train with the best of all time, like, you go do that. And it's showing. It got me so much more like, ooh, this is a even fight. I thought it was going to be, like, heavily dominated by Silva, but rewatching, I was like, yo, Lipsky cuts the cage off well in the stand-up game. She's not letting people take her down anymore. She has power. She throws in combination. She ends combos with kicks. Like, she is very well-rounded, very talented. I mean, you see the transition, like, to the armbar against Casey O'Neill. It's like, oh, she's not just defending takedowns. Like, she's subbing people.
Yeah.
I mean, she snapped her arm. Right?
Yeah. Which is insane. Here's the question that I have for Lipsky, though. And everything you're saying is true, because if you're not getting taken down, this thing that I'm about to bring, it doesn't matter. But really good when she's on top. But when she's on her back, in the past, it has been problems. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting taken down, who gives a shit, right? Like, to your point, I didn't know it was 21 takedowns, which is just wild. You know, you're just seeing the takedowns get stuffed. And when you put a number to it, it's like, holy shit, it's even more impressive now that you're giving me that number. But one thing that I think Lipsky has been very good when she's dictating pace, I don't know if she can do that against Silva. Silva's bigger. I think she's going to be too strong for her. That's going to be the fun part about this fight, is can Lipsky dictate anything for her, like, being offensive? And if not, what does she look like? Because Man, Silva's so fucking impressive. How all the things you just talked about, Lipsky, let's make sure everybody hears that. I was just impressed with Silva, man. Like, there's stuff.
She's so good.
She's just one of those people that, like, when you watch her, the eyeball test is almost like a cop out to say. It really is. Like, no, I just got the eyeball test because I'm not a professional. I understand, like, people that scout talent have the eyeball test, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My eyeball test tells me it's like, fuck, it's hard not to just, like, be like, this woman's unstoppable right now. That's for Silva. It just feels that way. Can Lipsky stop her? Absolutely. I mean, Lipsky's fought people, probably tougher competition than Silva in theory.
Mm-hmm.
This is potentially Silva's hardest test, but God, it's hard not to believe in Silva, man. It's just hard not to believe in her right now.
And you just look at her like she's a physical presence.
Yes.
Like, she is a big muscular.
You said that
woman.
Since the first time we started talking about her.
Yes. Like, she looks like somebody that has grappled most of their life.
Yeah.
Like, she has that wide back, you know, like she's just a big, strong person. You look at, but it's not just power. Like, her game's not just power. She has three submissions in the UFC and they're all different.
Yeah.
Like, that says a lot right there. When she popped, who is it? Sosa's knee. Ugh. Disgusting. I mean, just the strength to do that, because it didn't even look like she was going knee bar. She was dropping back on like a straight ankle lock.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. Like, it was so gross. But you saw her game evolve a little bit too in the stand up.
Yep.
Right? Where she started to go southpaw a little bit against Marina Moroz. Right. I mean, she has power. Like, when she lands her hands, she hurts people. Like, she hurt Moreau. She hurt Battaglia. Like, she hurts people when she touches them. What's going to be very interesting to me about this fight is, one, they both move forward.
Yeah.
Both these women move
forward.
That's
going to be fun, dude. That's going to be so fun.
Yes. And despite Lipsky being a Muay Thai fighter, she does a lot of her work with her hands.
Yeah.
And whereas Silva, a lot of her striking is kick range.
Yeah.
Right. She's almost that classic grappler like an Aljo, where it's, I am all the way out or I'm all the way in. We're fighting at kick range, or I am punching my way into clinch range.
Yeah.
Like, it's one or the other. I'm not standing to box with you. And so I want to see who dictates, who can move forward, first of all, because both can't, you know, they're not going to go fucking Max Holloway point in the middle and just run into each other and start punching, which would be cool to see.
So they can, if they want to. Yeah.
Yeah, they can. They certainly can. Yeah. They can. But who's going to be able to dictate that, the pressure? And then also, whose range does this fight take place at? Because if Silva's having trouble getting inside, I don't think she can just stay at kick range all fight and be successful.
Yeah. I don't disagree, and I think that's why this is the fight that's kind of, like, getting me the most excited, because, like, this feels like a big fight, man. This one just feels like a big fight. It just feels like a fun, big fight, so I'm ready for that one, but to that point, you know, you said, I know you said both things. You said Silva's not just power and that she's powerful. I just think that she has too much power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, yeah. I mean, when you look at her, she's not built like other female fighters.
Dude, right? It's like, insane. Like, when you see her on, like, the, you know, like, the scale and mm-hmm. she flexes, you're like, God damn. Like,
yeah.
How are you making this weight?
Yeah. I mean, it is the grappler build you see, like a Poirier, like a Khabib, where, like, they're built like a flying squirrel. Like, yeah. They got wings, you know, like that person can fly. It's going to be just on both women on three fight. I mean, Silva's on like an 8-fight win streak, but both women, 3 straight wins in the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, this is outside of like what we just saw, Blanchfield, Fior, you know, these top 5, top 10 fighters. Like, this is as good of a fight as you could get outside of the top 10.
It really
is.
And it's a shame that, like, the winner of this won't break the top 10, because this is probably going to be, like, a great fight. But they're not fighting someone in the top 10 to get that position, you know?
Yeah, like, one of them would have to come out and just dominate the other one to, like, stake a claim to actually be in the top 10. Because, oh, yeah, that's right, the people above them, Tracy Cortez, Araujo, Hibas, Natalia Silva, Caitlin Sermonara, Thug Rose, Andrade, Barber, Blanchfield, and Andrade should be out of those rankings now that she's staying there in strawweight.
Yeah.
Fior, Shevchenko, Grasso. Like, unbelievably talented division. We talk about it every single week because it is, without it, in my opinion, the most loaded division in women's MMA. And it is, this is one of those fights. Silva was my 125er to watch this year. Like, I am ready for this fight, and it couldn't happen at a better time because we are seeing the best version of both of these women.
Yep.
In both of their last few fights, we have seen them progress and get better. And that's what you love to see as a fan of the sport. I mean, I like certain fighters, but just to appreciate the sport, you want to see the best version of people fight. You don't, it's not like a football game where you're like, oh, it would be great if somebody, you know, was out injured so we could get the dub. Yeah, like, yeah, no, yeah. You don't want to see that. You want to see the best version of each of these people when they step into the cage, and that's what we're getting here, which is fucking awesome.
So a couple of side notes. We want to see the best version, unlike, and I hate to do this to you, man, I know you're going to be a little blood red mad, but like unlike boxing, where we just saw a boxing fight this weekend, which was fine, but, you know, like, Garcia beating Haney, missing weight, but on the flip side, when he fought Tank Davis, like, the rehydration clause, and he looks like a skeleton. It's like, you don't even want to fight the best version of this guy. You want to fight a limited version of this guy. I think MMA is a little bit, or at least UFC is a little bit more, I feel like these people are like, maybe they're like, yeah, if the guy's hurt a little bit, yeah, it'll help me out to win. But you always just imagine, like, these are the healthiest that they can be in the moment, right? They're at their healthiest. They're rehydrating. They're doing all this stuff. We get to see it. I mean, this is, think about how often we talk about what divisions that we talk about outside of the top 15 or top 10 outside of top 15. Middleweight's one of them, bantamweight, and we're talking about this division. We're excited about a top 15 fight because the division's so goddamn stacked at the top 10. It's so good. There's no reason to complain about this fight. Yeah, if it's a stinker, okay, whatever. This would be, if I had to make a bet on, like, just an exciting fight or boring fight, I would be like, this is the exciting column. It has to be.
Oh, yeah. And even if it's not, even if it ends up being boring, we're still going to learn a lot from this fight. And that's what I love. And I will make one comment about boxing and then we can move on. But how lame is it that it's like, hey, when we fight this time, here's the rules. I'm going to make up rules for what you can and can't do going into the fight. We're going to wear this size gloves and you can only rehydrate. No, stop.
It's the one thing that, like, I understand that people just want to complain about something. I get it. Like, I'm sure there's something that I would complain about. I don't know. Maybe the length of movies. I don't watch movies, but you know what I'm saying? Something. I would complain about something.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the UFC, one of the things they do really well is that most of the time, the rules are going to be the same. Most of the time, we're going to know what's going to happen. And even the after of a boxing, the one thing that gets on my nerves the most is the weigh-ins and after the fight. It's too many people. It's like everybody wants to be seen rather than just letting the fighter get it shine. When you watch, like, Ryan Garcia, just because it just happened, in the ring after the fight, and you see a million people around him, it's like, why are you all there? Why are you guys in the ring? Get the fuck out. The product just looks cleaner. It looks better. It doesn't look so jumbled. And this fight, and I'm just going to, another tangent, the UFC is so inspiring. Have you seen that thing where this, like, I think it's a Dutch MMA promotion. They're having a new bonus called I think it's called the Max Point Throwdown Bonus. And it's like, they're honoring Max Holloway's thing. And it's like, if they do that, they have $5,000 per event. And if you sit there and you point down and you actually go through with it, you get a $1,000 bonus, win or lose. And it's like,
that's awesome.
Like, but that's how inspiring the UFC is. That's how influential it can be. Do I need to see that all the time? No, it's magical because it happens rarely.
Yes.
But I mean, that's what the UFC brings. And then they bring these fights right here where, you know, we don't need to go into a deep discussion about women's sports in general, but, you know, a lot of people don't care for women's sports, but you really have these top of the line fighters. And this is a clear indication of it. This could be the main event, and I wouldn't be less excited about the card if it was.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that Karina Silva doesn't go the distance, I would want this to be a five-round fight.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
But, you know, she doesn't go the distance. So, and I think, I don't know if our main event's going to go the distance with Mateusz Nicolaou and Alex Perez, which we talked about it after the Perez-Mokaia fight. Perez looked pretty good, and we wanted to see him get back in there. So I am very rarely going to be happy that somebody was not able to fight. But the fact that Pop dropping out of this fight allowed Perez to step back into the cage so quickly, I am, for Perez, am happy to see him getting back in the cage so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you said Perez looked pretty good against Mokaev. He looked a lot better than I remembered. That's another one of those fights where I was like, I think we're both kind of high on Mokaev, and it's like, you know, he's that guy. You know, we're thinking he's that guy. But I'm like, God damn, he did really good against Mokaev. Like,
the takedown defense was impressive.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was looking good in the fight. And maybe with just a little bit more aggression is what I'm saying. Maybe a little bit more aggression, he takes the fight. But the problem with Perez, bro, and I didn't know this until actually last night. He doesn't have a win against an active UFC fighter. And you're like, oh,
really?
Shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, is that true? It's something that I heard someone say. I kind of made a note to look it up, and I didn't look it up. So I might be speaking out of my ass right now. But I mean, he hasn't won. His last win was June 5th, 2020, right?
Yeah.
It's rough when you look at it that way, but he's only had 3 fights. Mm-hmm. And the people that he's losing to, I mean, look, his last 3 losses, Figueiredo. Okay, well, we've seen what he's doing, right? Yeah. Pantoja, I guess winning a belt's not a big deal or anything like that. And Mokaev.
Champ, Mokaev.
And we're talking about Mokaev. And, you know, they're both coming off of losses. You're looking at Nicolaou, you're losing to Brandon Royval, and you're kind of like, you're almost excusing the loss because, like, it's Brandon Royval. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, you're garbage because you lost to Brandon Royval. But how do you bounce back from a KO loss? That's the thing. It's like when you're getting knocked out, how do you bounce back?
Bad. Yeah, it was a bad one.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, what's your confidence level look like? Now, I think Perez is a good guy to go against because his confidence might be low as well. He hasn't won in such a long time. It had a lot of unfortunate reasons to not be in the cage.
Yeah.
But Perez, man, he throws a goddamn low kicks. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Perez, oh, my God. Dude,
yes.
It's so fun watching people throw low kicks. Now, I just, the more time goes on, the more, like, I appreciate low kicks.
Oh, it was like kind of sickening to watch the Juicier Formiga fight. And he just like, he right at the end, he hits the calf and you see him just like crumble, and then he lets him back up and you're like, oh, just wait till he touches it again. Yeah. Like, you're just waiting for
it. And you know what's going to happen to you. Like, and Formiga knows it's going to happen. And that's gotta be the worst feeling.
Yeah, he's like screaming. Yeah. It's like, it's not good.
I'm taking balls.
I mean, Perez, when he was like at his height, he was really good. Now, the thing is, as good as he looked against Mokaev, I don't know if it's age, I don't know if it's injuries, or I don't know if it's just Mokaev's that good and that fast, but Perez looked slower. Like, watching the Formiga fight to that fight, it was like, oh, he looks... it doesn't look the same. And I don't know if it's one of those 3 things, if it's all of those things, you know, combination, but it was like, okay, he looks slower.
Might
than,
be
than
ring
he
rust
did
too, a little ring rust, maybe.
Could be, but I thought physically he looked slower than Mokaev. And it could just be Mokaev's, what, 23 years old?
Yeah, like, young as shit.
You know, I am interested with Nicolaou because, one, he carries fucking stupid power in his left hand and he's good with it. Like, it's not one of those things where he doesn't set it up and he's just constantly trying to throw it. That left hook of his is nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty. I mean, he dropped both David Dvorak and Matt Schnell, both top 15 guys. I think both top 10 at the time. Dropped both of them with the left hook. It was kind of funny watching those fights back to back because drops Dvorak, follows him to the ground, and the commentary is like, oh, they should have let him up. He should have let him up. He's letting him recover. And then... the Next fight, he dropped Chanel with the left hook, and they're like, oh, he could have finished him. He should have jumped on him when he let him up. And it's like, oh, well, you can't make anybody happy. You know, it was like, it's just, it was so,
don't, man.
Exactly, right? It's like, well, if the finish didn't happen, you should have done the other thing. But it was, yeah, just kind of funny as I'm watching those two, like, wait a tick. Like, that's, you know, but like, let's not forget, Nick Lau has a win over Manel Kopp.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy is 19-3-1, and when you, up until he got knocked out by Roy Val, he had 6 fight win streak, 4 of those in the UFC against Manel Kopp, Tim Elliott, David Dvorak, Matt Schnell.
Yeah.
Right? Prior to that last, the loss to Roy Val, his last loss was 2018 when the UFC was on Fox. Like, that's how, yeah, Biker Fox. If you don't know, now you know. Yeah. Go look up Biker Fox. The don't blame me for it. And use an incognito window. You don't need that in your algorithm.
No, you definitely don't. Or maybe you do, man. Maybe you're depressed and you need to see some magic and inspiration. Biker Fox.
Biker Fox. Look it up. But yeah, Nick Lau is talented. But the thing about him is he is okay to just kind of dance around. Like, he is okay to fight the Adesanya versus Yoel Romero style of fight every single time. And you saw him do it against Kopp, and it pissed Kopp off. You saw it, like, you see him do it to guys, and they get really frustrated with him.
Yeah,
because he is okay to do it. Now, he will explode. He will drop people. He will hurt people. But it can lead to some of these uneventful fights with guys getting, like, pissed off and frustrated. Perez is a fast starter.
Yeah.
He's had 15 fights end in the first round, which is not normal for the smaller weight classes.
Correct.
So I'm interested to see that. I want to know if Perez still has the speed and the footwork to be able to force Nick Lau to fight, or if Nick Lau's going to be able to skirt around, you know, just dance around the edge of the cage and fight it on his terms. That to me is gonna be the story of the fight.
Can I ask a weird question? Like, how is Perez? I'm just noticing this, and I know you have the rankings, but how is he 8? That seems a little off.
You think he shouldn't be ranked?
I mean, he hasn't won since 2020. He's had 3 fights. Like, it's very bizarre. I don't want to say I don't necessarily care, but kind of seeing him at 8, I'm like, huh? It feels goofy, right?
I mean, when he beat Formiga, I think Formiga was ranked 2 or 3.
Okay.
And so then he loses to Figueroa. He fights for a title and loses a title shot. So he's not going to move down a lot from that. Fights Pantoja, who I think was ranked 2 or 3 at the time. And we just don't see in the UFC rankings guys drop a lot if they're losing to top competition.
Yeah, but
we just don't see it.
4 years since he's won. I mean, this is Conor McGregor, right? Like, I mean,
yeah, I'm with you. And they kept Conor in the rankings. Yeah,
but they kept Conor in for one specific reason.
He's Dominic Cruz went up in the rankings last week.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's insane. What was Dominic Cruz's last win? Pedro Munhoz 2021.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But I mean, he went up in the rankings.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, the rankings are a joke from that standpoint.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you have things like that happening with Dominic Cruz going up after not winning in that long, all of a sudden you have guys like Giga Chikadze moving down because Sterling's in the rankings and they choose to put Sterling behind Josh Emmett for some reason. Why does Cal Bahalio move above Chris Curtis? Neither one of them fought. I don't understand that. Max Holloway enters into the lightweight rankings at number 9. Yet Gaethje's still at number 3, and his only fight at lightweight in the last 4 years, Justin Gaethje. He dominated him and then put him to sleep. Yeah. So, yeah, don't get it. But this fight, excited for it. Perez is going to get that chance now to show, hey, DJ, here's why I'm ranked in the top 10.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't win, I mean, that's... Oof,
yeah,
it's gonna be
and he might be a guy that retires if he doesn't win.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe,
yeah. Yeah, because he is a guy who was a top of the food chain, fought for a title, you know, and then if you're not able to win, if you're not able to beat the really young prospects, and then you're not able to beat the next, you know, the guys that are the next tier, not necessarily a prospect, but like a top 10, probably not going to break through to being a champion. Can't beat those guys, like, you know. But yeah, we'll see. That's the fun part. We get to find out.
Absolutely.
And something we are going to get to find out. You know what? I want you to announce this
fight. Yeah, man. The guy you always forget about. I don't know why. UFC 303 on June 29th. Light heavyweight, Khalil Roundtree. Don't forget his name. Versus who? Jamal Hill. Now, crazy fight. Like,
yes.
Huge step up for Roundtree. Big risk for Jamal Hill. This feels like a Jamal Hill's been like, give me somebody. And Roundtree being like, fuck it, I'll take it. But man, that's a banger, bro. It's a banger.
Yes, it's awesome. And that's on the Conor card.
Yeah, perfect. Right?
So that's, yep, that's a perfect main card fight for that because it is going to be violent. Somebody's probably going to go to sleep.
And Jamal Hill knows how to market himself. So on a Conor card, he's already going to market himself. And then on top of that, he's going to have the marketing of the Conor card. So this is...
Yeah, and it's going to be a different type of buildup.
Yeah.
Because, like, Roundtree's not your normal guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, the way super that he carries himself... Yeah, the way he carries himself outside of the cage is very different than a lot of guys. But he is as violent as they come inside of the cage. And I'm a little nervous for Jamal Hill. Not anything to do with Jamal Hill's skill set, because over the last couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about how talented this man is. But, I mean, he got put out, right? Like, a bad knockout from the heaviest of hitters, and
not from his perspective.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, dude, I wasn't really out. Like he like it wasn't a knock. When you look at it, you're like, yeah, I mean, it was flash, but he wasn't out cold. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like
he wasn't Gaethje.
When you think about it, like that wasn't like Gaethje got knocked out bad. Jamal Hill got knocked out, right? I wouldn't say it was a bad knockout.
I would say it was a bad knockout from the standpoint of his eyes rolled on the way down. Right when
his eyes definitely went
shovel hook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
hits the ground, looks to have his senses back.
Sure,
and then the hammer fist where he's like flopping as he's getting hit, and it's like, okay,
yeah, but I don't think he was out during the hammer fist, right? I think that was more of a
he wasn't asleep, but that was a
yeah. But you're talking about a bad knockout. I'm not making excuses. I don't think it was a bad knockout.
I think
it was a knockout. Right?
I think it was a bad knockout from the fact that. Because he didn't go out cold on the hook, he ate more shots. So, like, those hammer fists were things that if his brain just shut off, or damage, if that's not a title fight, the ref is on his way in there when the hook lands, right? Boom, you see his eyes roll back as he goes down. He has the weird kind of, like, hesitation on the way down because his knee got caught. Like, that's one where the ref is diving in. But this is a title fight. Let's see what happens when he hits the ground. Okay. Yep. He covers up. Cool. And then he's like flopping as he's getting hammer fisted. Like, yeah. And gets mean. Like, you know, like that. That's the thing. Is it? So I, to do that. And then now this fight's 8-9 weeks out. So he's like back in camp already.
Yeah.
Like that's just the part that worries me a little bit. And he's like Wolverine, because when fucking Paul Craig jacked his arm up, it didn't break, and he was like back training almost immediately. So he does have
I mean, he came back, 9 months from an injury? They say 12 months minimum. So, I mean, there's something very Cheeto Vera about him.
Yes, exactly. He's got that Wolverine blood.
Yeah.
But we'll see because – unless he can put Roundtree out quickly, like Roundtree going to test that chin now. So, like,
it's fun to see, like, you know, we've had Conor cards in the past where it's like Conor is the draw. And then, you know, the matchups might not be as exciting. If we're about to get a Conor card, especially with movie star Conor now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of those fights where you're like, Jamal Hill knows how to bring it. Khalil Roundtree has something very endearing about his, like you said, his personality. Yep. This is just, and then the violence that they're going to bring. And Khalil Roundtree's violence, I mean, like, I think he was my fighter to watch for this year. So it's like, he's getting his test. This is like, he wins this fight, you're thinking, well, who's he fighting next for a contender shot, you know?
Yeah, he wins this, he's one away.
Yeah, and imagine him fighting like weirdo Yuri or something like that. You know, like
it'll be fun.
Oh my god!
Yes,
because Yuri's gonna be like, "Well, hit me. Let's see what happens." You know.
Yeah, I mean that would just be a violent fight. Ooh. Ooh. And this is one like we were talking about. What could be the co-main on that card? Like, what can you put on that card that makes sense? If you're not having any title fights on that card, like this could be a co-main, and it would not disappoint.
Right? Not
and
at
this
all.
Is, yeah. So. I was very, very happy when this one got announced.
Oh, yeah. When you sent me the text, I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
Good to be back.
Yes.
Anything else on your end?
No, sir.
All right. As always, fight friends. Appreciate y'all for listening. Love and respect.
Later.